Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on Earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my...
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
Hello, welcome in Wednesday edition of the program. Glad to have you with us here on this show, and let's take a look at what we've got today. Plenty of items to check off the list in this hour program. The guest lineup is brought to you by Honey Baked Ham, and of course, the Hoosier Report is now presented by CC Power Sports each day here on the Big X Sports Radio. On the show today, segment one, we'll have our Zaxby's Hoosier headlines, as we have every day to open the program. Some positive news on Romeo Langford. It sounds for sure now like he will open his NBA career with a preseason game coming up later this week. We'll tell you more about that, including what Brad Stevens, his Boston Celtics coach, had to say. A couple recruiting notes for this Indiana program as well, and we'll look at week 7 of high school football briefly coming up here in our headline segment today. Later in the program, Dustin Dopierak of The Athletic is with us. Dustin, a great resource on IU basketball on our Wednesday programs, and we'll talk about Hoosier hysteria. Going to really dig into some players with Dustin today as well. We'll talk Joey Brunk. We'll talk Trace Jackson Davis and a few other Hoosiers as well. Of course, I want to get his thoughts on what happened Saturday in Bloomington and Jerome Hunter being on the floor during the scrimmage, and there's some positive news there, it looks like, with this Indiana team. So we'll cover all that and a lot more with Dustin when he joins us today. And then later in the show, always fun to have Craig Pearson of the News and Tribune with us. Craig is the sports editor of the News and Tribune. His segment is presented by Major League Shirt Company, home of the $4 t-shirt, and we'll talk local sports. A lot to get to. I mentioned football, big week 8, lots of interesting games. One really stands out. That is Silver Creek undefeated, taking on Brownstown undefeated for the Mid-Southern Conference Championship game, and I believe that's going to be our feature game this week on the Big X Sports Radio as well. So we'll talk about that. There have been some other happenings going on in high school sports that we'll cover with Craig a little bit later in the hour as well when he joins us to talk local things as well. And one of the things I want to get to with Craig today in our program, as football, the regular season at least, coming to a close over the next few weeks, who would be the player of the year so far? I think we have a handful of candidates, perhaps, that you could discuss for that award, and we'll do that with Craig when he joins us a little bit later on the program. That's the show lineup. It's presented by Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Don't forget you can mention the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison, and you'll receive $1 off your box lunch at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. It's time now for our Zaxby's Hoosier headlines. Don't forget Zaxby's does catering, party-sized platters of your favorite appetizers, entrees, and sides, and of course Zaxby's with locations in New Albany and Jeffersonville as well. They bring us the headlines each day on the program. Romeo Langford went live yesterday in practice in Boston for the first time in his NBA career. Obviously, Boston is in the middle of training camp, preseason camp, whatever you want to call it, as the preseason games have begun. They play game number 2 Friday night. Looks like Romeo Langford will get some minutes in that game, whether it will be a normal expectation of minutes in the preseason, whether they're going to work him in very slow because he's coming back in to live play from the hand injury, the thumb injury that is, and of course a little tweak of the groin more recently that it appears has been what has kept him sidelined the last few days. But nonetheless, it looks like he's going to get some PT in Orlando on Friday. Brad Stevens yesterday on Romeo Langford, he said, quote, "I thought he did a lot of good things. It was encouraging in some some ways, maybe it's good to watch for 5 days and get your feet wet that way. And again, that's Brad Stevens talking about Romeo watching some practices, watching training camp, not being able to go live and all the functions of that. So also Mark D'Amico, who is basically the Celtics' own reporter. He does a lot of the content stories that you probably have seen in the preseason and over the NBA Summer League in the offseason as well for the Celtics website. He tweeted out just earlier before we came on the air, off to Orlando for game two of the preseason. Friday's game is going to be a whole lot of fun. Get to see Romeo Langford for the first time. So that obviously is good news. Make plans Friday night, Romeo fans, to check in and see what type of minutes that Roe gets, and it looks like what's going to be his first NBA action. And again, it would not surprise me at all, even if he is healthy and even if the groin thing was minor. And, of course, his hand, it appears, he's been recovered from that now for a small period of time. Still would not surprise me if he sees very limited minutes as he just gets back in the flow of and condition of game-type situations. Big difference. So, but it does look like he'll get some time Friday in the game. And that will be pretty cool stuff to see him trot out on the Magic's floor for that preseason NBA basketball game. Also, a little recruiting note to pass along here in our headlines today. Trey Patterson is a name to remember in the class of 2021. He is from New Jersey. He attends Rutgers Preparatory School. He's from Somerset, New Jersey. Again, a current junior. He's a small forward, 6'7", 170 pounds. He announced on Twitter yesterday he's going to take an official visit to Indiana this weekend. That will be his first official visit. You can take 5 now your junior year. You can take 5 your senior year. It can be a mix of different schools. It could be, you know, you could visit all 5 your junior year, turn around, visit all 5 of the same schools again your senior year. But this is a good opportunity for Indiana because I don't know near as much about him as we obviously do local players in that class like Christian Lander or Trey Kaufman, but he is somebody that has been making a lot of noise on the national circuit in the offseason, and the fact that this is his first official visit in Indiana has a chance to bring him into a basketball-crazy area, a school with a lot of tradition. Fans are going to know who he is. Shame he couldn't make it for Hoosier Hysteria, to be quite honest. But Trey Patterson, when they make an official visit, I put him on my list to follow and follow closely. Especially as a junior. That is very interesting to see that development, and he is scheduled to be in Bloomington this weekend. He's a 5-star in the junior class for what that's worth, obviously. He's got a lot of offers. I saw he picked up an offer yesterday from Arizona State. If you go back and look at his social media feed, it's been really a fairly consistent list of schools that he's had offers from, and he's made some unofficial visits different places as well. I don't think he's had any trips for visits near like a trip to Indiana from where he's at in New Jersey. So interesting stuff for Trey Patterson and a connection to IU, it looks like, as a junior in the 2021 class. High school football on this coming Friday night, week 8 of high school football. And I try to tease it a little bit throughout the week because I know Friday nights are a big deal. We've got some teams playing well in the area. We've got some individual players that have been outstanding all season long, even when maybe their teams haven't had the best of appearances. Our athlete of the week Friday night, Landon DeWeese of Floyd Central, presented by Sardano's, and of course Floyd Central. Another Hoosier Hills Conference game. They return home to take on Bedford North Lawrence, and this game is interesting because Bedford's been up and down. It's not been your normal strong Bedford football team, but they have some interesting wins, and they've got some interesting losses as well, like getting defeated by Madison a little bit early in the season. That is interesting as well because it's a sectional, or at least a potential sectional matchup for Floyd Central, but that will be a week 8 game. New Albany at Madison, the Bulldogs, can they get some late season momentum after a big, big win Friday night against Seymour? Jennings County at Jeffersonville, same for the Red Devils. They beat Madison last week. Could they get some late season momentum headed into the sectional as well? Providence, a tough game. They're on the road at Milan. Clarksville at Cordon. Could the Generals perhaps get win number 2 of the season as they are making big improvements. We know a win earlier to snap the long losing streak that's spanned over many seasons happened earlier this year. Win number two would be really big this year as well for the Clarksville program. Charlestown, they host Salem. Again, Charlestown, another team that started slow, tough schedule, but they've got a number of victories in a row. Can they make it, I think, five or six in a row coming up on Friday night? Rock Creek, they host Edinburgh. Of course, the biggest game I saved for last, Silver Creek at 7-0 at Brownstown, who is undefeated as well. Mid-Southern Conference championship game basically is what it boils down to. Big stuff for the Dragons. Not sure who is back, who is healthy for the quarterback spot. Will Dylan Myers make his return this week? Will it be Ben Landers, who's seen lots of action as well since Myers has been out? The Silver Creek team will have a big challenge on its hands Friday, but they've been able to answer some big challenges this season so far. Early in the year, challenges came from their opponents. Very tough games to start the year the first 2 weeks. Through the middle part of the season till now, the challenges have come with some injuries and some subs having to move into key roles that maybe they didn't expect to play at the start of the season. So Silver Creek at Brownstown going to be our focus game on Friday night with our high school football coverage beginning at 6 o'clock with the Kentuckiana High School kickoff show. And, of course, kickoff in the big Silver Creek-Brownstown game is a 7 o'clock kickoff on Friday night. That's a look at the headlines brought to you each day by Zaxby's, famous hand-breaded, hand-seasoned chicken fingers, salads, and saucy wings, all made to order. We'll head to a commercial break. When we come back, Dustin Dopierak of The Athletic joins the program. We recap Hoosier hysteria. We talk Joey Brunk. We talk Trace Jackson Davis. We talk Jerome Hunter and more with Dustin coming up here after the commercial break. We'll be back with more. You're listening to a Wednesday edition of the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a shit what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back on this Wednesday program. Dustin Dopierak of The Athletic joins us, as he does most Wednesdays, to talk IU basketball and more in this segment. Dustin covers Indiana, Purdue, and Butler for The Athletic. Dustin, great to talk with you again. Now we have Hoosier hysteria in the books, and we can look ahead to a secret scrimmage against Marquette forthcoming for this team. Not sure how much we'll find out about that close game, but following that, an open exhibition game against a lower college level team, and then the start of the regular season. I know you were at Hoosier Hysteria on Saturday. I'm curious, maybe your couple takeaways. It's been interesting the first few days of this week with different IU reporters to pick their brain and to see what they thought about this team in the brief scrimmage and during some of the skill competitions that took place at Assembly Hall on Saturday afternoon.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, obviously, it was a shorter scrimmage than we're used to seeing, even from Hoosier Hysteria. I mean, obviously, they don't necessarily guarantee you a certain amount of minutes when you go to these things. But there have been years where, you know, it's been closer to a full game or it's been maybe a half a game. You know, really, it was 10 minutes worth of scrimmaging in this one. So you didn't get to see a whole lot, especially because Devontae Green, Rob Finnessy, and Deron Davis were all held out. They released a statement right before, you know, scrimmaging in the skills competition saying, you know, that some people are going to be held out. That doesn't mean it's a big injury. There hasn't been anything major so far. But all the same, you know, a team doesn't look the same when you're talking about taking out its two, you know, most important guards and I would say maybe most important ball handlers, but, you know, basically the guys that are probably going to be starting at the one and the two when the season comes around. But I mean, I think, you know, the headline takeaway for me was Jerome Hunter. Just basically seeing him out there and being able to play 10 straight minutes. That tells you something. I mean, we still don't have an idea of how limited he's going to be or not. I mean, we know he's been cleared to play, but obviously in that release, it pointed out that he is going to be medically, he's going to be medically monitored basically. And it sounds like it'll be throughout the season, that it's going to be something that they're going to have to look at and constantly monitor. We still don't know what this condition is, what it entails, you know, what the good signs and bad signs are. But him being able to play 10 full minutes in a row without getting pulled is a story in and of itself, and he was effective. I mean, I think you got to see a little bit of, I don't want us to call it an unconventional game, but maybe a little bit of an old-school game from him. You know, he had hit kind of a bank runner, hit one kind of high off the glass, and had this sort of, I think maybe 12, 15-foot turnaround jumper, basically, where he was you know, playing with his back to the basket in sort of the mid-range and hitting a turnaround, you know, bank shot. Again, just shows this kind of like old-school game is really, you know, a good sense for the backboard, the ability to use that in different ways. You know, we know he can shoot it from outside. That's something we've heard a lot from his coaches. But, you know, his ability to score the basketball, you know, is – definitely has a chance to be a big help. And basically, if he can play and he's not held to some kind of minute count every night where he's maybe under 15 minutes, you know, that says a lot. Basically, if they can trust that they'll get 20, 25 out of him, that makes a huge difference. I mean, I don't know if he can go to 30, 35, if he can be a guy that's playing starters minutes, but if he's close to that, that does a lot for them. So I think that was a really good sign. I was impressed by a couple things Trace Jackson Davis did. You didn't necessarily see, you know, him kind of expanding his game at all. Obviously, he had to play the five with Davis out to match up with Joey Brunk. And I was not surprised to see him being able to beat Joey a little bit. You know, on a few occasions, he was able to get around him and get some buckets. You know, you saw the athleticism that he has. Be interested to see more about, you know, whether he can defend the perimeter. Can he, you know, what does he look like shooting the ball, handling the ball out there? That's still questions I think you want to see, you know, live and up close. But, you know, his performance was pretty good. And I'm trying to think if there was somebody else that really stood out to me. But, you know, there was Joey Brunk had some moments. I think Al Durham did a pretty good job, you know, won the 3-point shooting contest with his teammate. Basically, he looked pretty sharp out there, I thought, running the point. Even though he wasn't really pushed, he still, you know, looked all right. So I mean, I think there were some good signs there, definitely. But the Hunter thing is really what stands out to me is what matters from that first scrimmage.
Dustin Dopierak of The Athletic, my guest, talking IU basketball on this Wednesday program. Follow-up question for you on Jerome Hunter. I think like most people, and I agree with the utmost importance that he could be a difference maker with this Indiana team and even some of the projections for the team this season if he is back and playing substantial minutes. I think it's probably obvious given the situation and given that IU's pretty tight-lipped with things that we don't find out minutes and what he's going to be able to do until the games actually get here. And the first opportunity for media, for fans to see this team next will be the exhibition game coming up later this month after the secret scrimmage game. That said, I think, and I'm going to talk to you in a minute about the secret scrimmage, if there was one stat from the box score, if they even keep box scores, I think they do at these exhibition games that are closed. Secret scrimmages is kind of the term that they is most often used. If there's one stat, if there's one thing I could pinpoint on that sheet that they would tell us or that they would show us, I don't care who leads Indiana in scoring in that game, who leads Indiana in rebounds. I don't care about turnovers. I'd just like to know how many minutes Jerome Hunter plays in that secret scrimmage game against Marquette. I think that will give us a somewhat better of an idea if we find out, if we had a way to know what level of contribution he might be able to make this season, especially early on.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And basically what it comes down to is the secret scrimmages is they release what they want to release. That's sort of what it comes down to is they don't have to tell us anything. And in the old days, they really didn't tell you a word. You know, it seemed like basically it's been more, it seems like the rules have certainly been relaxed as to what you're allowed to say, and what you're allowed to talk about. It seemed like in the old days, they were pretty tight-lipped about, you know, saying anything. I mean, I think I'm pretty sure they're not allowed to let you in the building. Like, I mean, if I showed up, and I think they're playing at a Banker's Life, if I'm not mistaken. I could be wrong about that. But, like, if I showed up there, like, they cannot let you in.
Wow.
You know, it's, like, very important. So they keep people out, basically. And in the old days, they didn't say anything. And they've started to, you know, have releases. And if I'm not mistaken, I think Indiana might have actually had some kind of a release to say, you know, this is some things that happened in this game last year. And I know Archie Miller certainly talked about it pretty publicly on his radio show last year as well. So, I mean, but that is definitely the question. I mean, obviously, these aren't necessarily, 40 minutes like a game, because they do a lot of situational stuff. You know, basically, it's your call what you want to do with that other team, how you want to, get the most out of that opportunity. Sometimes they'll play a full scrimmage for 20, for 40, and then, scrimmages after that. But bottom line, yes, how long was Jerome Hunter on the floor? That I think would certainly be the most interesting question that I would have is, again, can this kid play? If he can play 30 minutes, there's just so much more that this team is capable of. You know, if he's a guy that you can trust to be out there, all year playing starters minutes, it gets a lot better. So, but basically I think we know at this point that he's not just going to be a bit player, that he's not just going to play 5 and 10 minutes, here and there, that he's not going to have to be brought along that slowly. So that's obviously, a good sign. Again, just having, he did look a little bit winded, definitely looked sweatier than the other guys. It definitely seemed like it took a lot out of him to play 10 minutes straight, but he did it. And, the fact that he could do that says, it suggests to me that, he can play more. He can play 20, he can play 25. I think it seems pretty safe and confident that he's going to be able to do that. But again, can he be the guy? Can he step in and be the guy that plays enough to be this team's leading scorer or close to it? That's still a question that needs to be answered.
Dustin Dopierak is my guest of The Athletic. Another minutes-related question, and we have no way of knowing any of this, but it's fun to think about with the season rapidly approaching as far as games starting. Trace Jackson-Davis, when you look at this roster, and you obviously had the opportunity to see Trace in his high school career throughout his recruitment in some big games, some big moments for his Center Grove high school program, and you see this Indiana roster, and you think about the bits and pieces, the moving parts, the newcomers, the returning players, a player like Jerome Hunter that we have given so much attention to, rightfully so, recently as he makes his return to the court. What type of minutes do you see for Trace Jackson-Davis? What type of opportunities do you see for Trace Jackson-Davis as a newcomer, a freshman on this team?
Yeah, I mean, I think he's got to be the guy, honestly. I think he's got to play in the 25 to 30 range as well, and maybe beyond that. I mean, because I think whether, how available Hunter is or not, I mean, I think, he's a big-time enough recruit. He's a good enough player. He's got it in him. I think you saw on Saturday that he belongs. It's not a situation where there's obviously things he can work on. Got to get better with that right hand, for one thing. And you definitely want to see him be, a little bit more assurance that he's going to be good at the four, in what the four has come to be, that it's more a perimeter-oriented position at this point. Again, that he's going to be able to step out and defend somebody out there, consistently. But one way or another, he's a guy you got to get on the floor. And, even if he can't handle the four that much, they'll play him at the five. I mean, I think as much as they like Deron Davis and Joey Grunk, if it comes down to the only position Jackson Davis can play is the five, he's going to play the five. Now, I think they can. I don't think it's going to be a problem putting him together on the floor with Deron or Brunk for extended minutes. I think he's going to be fine. But I mean, I think he's got to be a 30-minute guy. He's that talented. Again, you just see how good he is, how athletic he is around the rim, plays he can make around the rim. Get into the bucket. He's really good. He's tough to stop. I mean, Joey Brunk really had a tough time keeping him away from the rim. And I thought Brunk played pretty well. And I think Brunk is going to be a good player. There was definitely some good signs he made, without question. But you definitely see how tough it is, when he gets the ball, going towards the rim, how tough it is to keep him away from there. He's just a really good finisher, especially with that left hand. He's really good at finding a way to get an angle on you, get around you. I mean, he's got just such a huge wingspan. And again, his way of just sort of, shifting around a guy is really impressive. He's going to be able to rebound it, going to be able to handle it, going to be able to pass it. The question I think is, what's he like defensively? He certainly could just protect the rim as a high school player. He was just pretty dominant just by the sheer size of him. And that's not necessarily going to be the case at the college level. He's not as overwhelming size-wise, but he's still can make a bunch of plays on that end. Again, if you can trust him to keep a four-man in front of him when he has to defend on the perimeter, keep a stretch guy out there, if you can do that, I mean, that really says everything. I mean, I think he's going to play a ton of minutes. He's going to be critical. definitely going to be one of the most important players on this team. And again, I mean, that's what you expect from a kid who's a McDonald's All-American and a top 30 guy. I mean, a player like that has to be able to step in and play right away. You don't need to be, especially in a position like Indiana's in, where it's not like, you know, it's not like they're bringing back a, you know, top-rated team to start with. You know, he needs to be a guy that makes an impact and is a change maker for this team.
Talking with Dustin Dopierak of The Athletic, lots of things about this IU team as they head into their secret scrimmage, which is next up, followed by a normal open exhibition game later this month, and then, of course, the start of the regular season in November. Joey Brunk, he has a great personality. I think we all knew that, those of us that had followed him in high school and through his Butler career, and of course when he made the decision to come to Indiana as a two-year graduate transfer, he kind of made the interview circuit, and we were reminded, even on this program, what a great personality and a great speaker he is, and leadership qualities that you would expect a guy that's got a few years behind him already, albeit at another Division I school, some experience at that level. He seems to have fit in very nicely with this team. There have been some really positive comments and some of Archie Miller's off-season statements, and I remember down in Evansville when Coach Miller spoke, he talked about Brunk's leadership and how well he had fit in with the program, and even at Hoosier Hysteria in the skills competition, and even the way he addresses some things on social media, you can just tell he's a guy that is fitting in well and has lots of leadership qualities, which I don't think either of those things is surprising to anyone that's followed him at other stops in his basketball career. You see him fitting in well, like I do with this team, and again, I guess the same kind of question I ask about Trace Jackson Davis with him, given the void he fills and helps maybe bolster in the low post for this team, what type of role, what type of minutes for him do you see as well?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I he absolutely fits in well. I think what's interesting in this team is it's totally reshaping its chemistry, you know, and I think they obviously looked, you know, that's one thing that Archie Miller obviously is centered on and said, okay, what went wrong last year? And he said it had a lot to do with how they relate to each other. And, you know, basically the company line coming out, you know, whether we believe it or not, basically is that it wasn't necessarily that last year's group was toxic, you know, and certainly there were, you know, rumors of things being a lot worse than they actually were, but it, there just weren't enough take charge guys, you know, with that group. And there was also they just never seemed to necessarily be pulling all in the right direction. You know, this team is sort of reshaping itself from a chemistry standpoint. There's not necessarily an established dynamic of who the leaders are, of who everybody looks up to. And, you know, I don't know that it's cliquish. I mean, like, it doesn't seem like, I mean, it seems like it's a pretty, you know, unshapen, you know, clay as far as how this team is going to be chemistry-wise, you know, who looks up to everybody, who's the demanding guy. And, you know, by all accounts, certainly by Archie Miller's accounts, it sounds like Joey Brunk has been, you know, really important in starting to shape what that's going to look like and bringing a guy who's, you know, really passionate, really is going to get after it, and to whom Indiana basketball as a concept really means something. And I think that's interesting in of itself, especially as a guy who was a transfer, but he's a guy who grew up around it and cared about it. It is something that matters to him. It matters that he gets to put on an IU jersey. You know, so that seems to be driving a lot. He's definitely a guy who is vocal on social media, but smart on social media, you know, sort of knows the message that he's trying to get across and is sharp about making sure that he's on point on the company line. But yeah, just comes off as a veteran, basically, and has an understanding of what it means to play at this level and how, again, you're supposed to, you know, present yourself publicly. But he does seem to get along really well with the guys. He seems to be able to push the guys. He knows a few of them going back, Armon Franklin, you know, some Trace Jackson Davis, some kids that, you know, have come around locally. He seems to have a really good relationship with those guys. They seem to look up to him and sort of understand what his experiences has meant. But you know, he's going to matter. I think, again, from a personality standpoint, I think he's going to be a huge fan favorite. As far as his minutes, I mean, I think it does, you know, Trace Jackson Davis is kind of the more important domino there. So it comes down to how much can he play with Trace? And I think basically if Trace can play almost entirely the four, then, you know, you can, you know, kind of split Davis and Brunk at the five and get maybe 20 minutes out of each of them, and, you know, fill that up. And that, I think, is one of your best case scenarios. Maybe if you get to use Hunter and Smith at the three, or move Smith back and forth between the three and the four, then, you know, that's probably your best case scenario in terms of the lineups you're going to be able to put together. But I think they're going to want to play both of those guys, Brunk and Davis, as much as possible, because I think they also want to see how good Davis can be, I guess healthy. Obviously it raises a little bit of a red flag when you see him not play in Hoosier Hysteria, but, you know, again, did not have a major rehab this offseason, unlike last year when he was dealing with the Achilles tendon. So if Davis is ready to go and ready to play extended minutes, I think they want to see a lot from both of those guys. You know, you definitely see how Duran's body, I know he can use that to really back some guys in. But Brunk is a heck of an athlete. I mean, again, he was, really good at scoring the basketball once he got the ball in his hand at Butler. You know, you saw him just, you know, play pretty athletic on Saturday. You know, he shows he can shoot the ball from outside. He didn't do that a lot at Butler. I think he's going to get more of an opportunity to do some pick and pop stuff. For Indiana, basically, that's going to be something I think he's going to try to take advantage of. He was really good at handling the ball, got to be in the skills competition and did a pretty good job at that. So that's something that's going to matter to him, I think, that he's going to be able to do some things. He's got every reason to be able to play a bunch. It's kind of just how sort of he fits in, basically everybody else sort of fits in around him in terms of how many minutes he's going to be able to get.
Talking with Dustin Dopierak of The Athletic. He covers Indiana, Purdue, and Butler and joins us here on the program Wednesdays. I think you probably addressed some of my next question in answering the Brunk stuff, but what is the biggest unknown with this team, the biggest question surrounding this team, in your opinion, as we head into the season? Is it leadership? Is it top performers, production from scoring? And it doesn't just have to be one thing, but when you look at this Indiana team as a whole, players that we've spoke about today, others that we haven't, returners, newcomers, however they may fit in, what do you think the biggest question about this team is heading into 2019-2020 college basketball?
It's so hard because I feel like everything's a question. I think there's a pretty big difference between floor and ceiling and everybody that you look at. Not necessarily everybody, but a lot. I mean, basically, you say, okay, what's the best case scenario? And leadership, it's like, okay, I mean, Devontae Green, if I was going to tell you that, like, in January of last year that Devontae Green is going to be this team's captain, what are you thinking? What's going through your head at that point? Now, again, he was voted by the team, so everybody says he is in the best mental shape they've seen him. I think there's definitely some more confidence in him. There's some maturity in him. And he definitely, I think, obviously the fact that Romeo Langford's gone, I think, does make a difference. I mean, I think he feels like, he can be the top perimeter option. He can be a guy that, just goes and gets his own shot, and he doesn't have to sort of worry about deferring and whatever, sort of confidence issues that come with that or whatever squabbles he might have had with that. He gets to, attack, basically. And he's supposed to be smart about it. But, again, he's supposed to look for his own shot. He's going to be trusted to do that. Is he going to be able to keep it together if he doesn't make some? I mean, that thing that he talked about a lot himself is saying, I can't allow one mistake to become two and become three and allow things to build up. Is he going to be able to be that steady, be steady in that position? And again, being able to be attack and be aggressive, and maintain his cool, even if it doesn't go as well as he wants it to. Is he able to change direction if he has to, when he knows he doesn't have it, find a way to get more other guys involved? What is it going to be like to put, to give him all the rope he's going to have, basically to get all of the freedom that's coming to him? What is he going to do with that freedom? And that's a huge question, because again, you've seen good Devontae and bad Devontae. You've seen he's capable of blowing up like he did against Ohio State and hitting eight threes, but you've also seen, games when he's, had a whole bunch of turnovers and missed a bunch of shots. So how is he going to fit in this situation? How much better is Rob Finnessy's going to be? What degree is he going to, kind of take on a leadership role and be more assertive? How much more can you do that? Will he still find himself deferring to Devontae, or is he going to kind of assert himself a little bit more and, again, take a little bit of charge? What's that going to look like? What's Jerome Hunter's minutes going to look like? We already talked about Justin Smith remains a huge question mark. He's capable of a lot. There's just so much athleticism in that kid. He can defend just any position. When he's locked in, he can be really good. When he's not locked in, he can be a total and complete mess. I mean, you saw him hit a jumper the other day. You know, in Hoosier Hysteria, there's some ability for him to score the basketball. You saw what he was capable of against Michigan State. You know, you're not going to get that out of him every night. But, I mean, if you can just get some consistency from him, you know, there's a lot higher ceiling. You know, again, I think Trace is going to be really good. Does he play the four? Does he play the five? What kind of minutes does that allow for Brunken Davis? Just every – I guess the biggest piece is everything seems interconnected. You know, it's like one domino falls one way and they get a lot better. If it falls the other way, they got a lot worse. So, you know, that I maybe that's, you know, to take a long way around your answer, you know, maybe that's it. It's just everything is connected together, that if this thing goes, if one thing goes wrong, then a lot of things can go wrong. But if one thing goes right, then a lot of things can go right for this group. It is really difficult to tell, you know, what's going to make the difference in terms of how good this team can be.
Dustin Dopierak of The Athletic. Dustin, great stuff as always. I have tremendously, and I know a lot of other fans as well that listen to the program, I hear it from them. They tremendously have enjoyed your content since you rejoined the Indiana beat for The Athletic, a number of months ago. And after a handful of visits to the program, I'm happy to say that you're going to be with us, I know, Wednesdays, most every Wednesday on this program throughout the season to talk IU basketball. So I very much look forward to it. You've become a big staple of our Wednesday program as far as IU coverage is concerned. And great job. Look forward to our chats and just really appreciate your time.
Absolutely. Always. Thanks for having me. Enjoy and definitely enjoy coming on and talking hoops.
Thank you, Dustin Dopierak of The Athletic. He'll be with us Wednesdays in this second segment here on the Hoosier Report moving forward. We'll head to a commercial break. When we come back, we'll switch gears and talk some local sports. Craig Pearson, he's the sports editor of the News and Tribune. He joins me to talk local sports headlines, as he does each Wednesday, presented by the Major League Shirt Company, home of the $4 t-shirt. We'll do that next, and plenty of local stuff to talk about. High school football, other fall sports winding down as well. A lot to get to. We'll do that with Craig next here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennis.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach, who got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back on this final segment of this Wednesday program. Craig Pearson, sports editor of the News and Tribune, is in studio with me for our weekly chat on all things local sports here in Southern Indiana. This segment is brought to you by the Major League Shirt Company, home of the $4 t-shirt. They offer custom apparel to meet any of your apparel needs, t-shirts, uniforms, corporate wear, and promotional items, anything from screen print, embroidery, or fully sublimated uniforms. You can let them outfit your team or organization today. Visit MLShirtCo.com to find out more. Craig, week 8 of high school football. We've got to start with the game of the week. It's Silver Creek, the Dragons, 7-0. They play at Brownstown. It should be a great late season challenge for Silver Creek. They've had a fantastic year so far. Some big wins to start the year. They've battled through some injuries here in the middle to latter part of the season, and now they have a big test ahead of them that I think will tell us a lot more about this Silver Creek team, because as good as their season has been and some of the wins, especially early on that they had, I forget, you look at their sectional, it is a tough sectional.
Absolutely.
So this game Friday will tell us a lot about that.
Right, yeah. You got, what is it, East Central and Mooresville both in the top 10 in that sectional. So, yeah, this game's going to help them not only prepare for that type of competition, but, you know, figure out where they're at. Or, you know, because some of their wins are, you know, against the Eastern Pekins of the world and that sort of thing. No disrespect. But, you know, this is a game where we can truly get an idea of how good they might be. So, you know, Brownstown's coming in also at 7-0, obviously, and it's kind of an interesting matchup, kind of strength against strength in my mind, because Silver Creek's defense has been so effective all year long, especially up front. And I mean, probably not, especially up front. They've also created a lot of turnovers in the secondary. So, but Brown, you know, I mentioned the up front because Brownstown's a team that's going to, you know, line up and try to run the ball. And, you know, they've got a kid with over 1,000 yards already, Derek Thompson. And, you know, he's got 1,043 yards through 7 games. And I don't know. I think Silver Creek's defense, you know, could be up to the task. So it's going to be an interesting ball game.
It definitely is the headline game this Friday night, no question about it. Mid-Southern Conference Championship also on the line as well. Brownstown for 3A teams, and I say 3A, I'm a basketball guy. It's not 4A is what Silver Creek is in football. But for that level, let's say that size of a football school here in our area, Brownstown has kind of been that marker for years, much like Columbus East has been the leader, the marker for the bigger schools in the area, the 4A basketball schools, which I guess are all 5A football schools. This is kind of their chance to go against the leader of that level of football and see what they can do.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and I think, I don't know. I'm thinking back to last week. I was at Clarksville for the coach naming ceremony there at the new Guy Newcomb Field. And, you know, that was, you know, an exciting night for Clarksville. But it was also a nice night for their offense in the first half, 32 points against Brownstown. So, you know, is that something the Dragons can exploit? You know, Silver Creek hasn't really had a high-flying offense throughout the year. But at the same time, you know, they're kind of a grinded-out offense and look to get the running game going and rely on the quarterback to help move the ball down the field with the run game. And, you know, they do have multiple weapons, though, and I think, you know, maybe there's some vulnerability there to get a couple big plays. And Silver Creek's been able to make some big special teams plays as well. So I think it could be a game where, you know, maybe, you know, Easton Messer is able to get one of those big punt return type of plays that help set up a score or something like that. It's going to be, I think there's no doubt it's going to be a close game that comes down to some sort of play like that.
Yeah, no question. Craig Pearson, sports editor at the News and Tribune. You can find their coverage of most of the topics we talk about, either stuff that's available now or preview stuff on the football games forthcoming later this week at newsandtribune.com/sports. And this segment is brought to you by the good people at Major League Shirt Company, home of the $4 t-shirt. They specialize in fundraising. You can outfit your fans with very little effort. They even do all of the sorting. All you got to do is cash the check. You can find out more about that great deal, that fundraising opportunity, at Major League Shirt Company's website by visiting mlshirtco.com. That is mlshirtco.com. Other games this week, Craig, that maybe catch your eye. I think we've got Jeffersonville, Madison. You've got New Albany in action against Jeffersonville, Jennings County, New Albany, Madison. With those games, I see local teams that have struggled this year but maybe have an opportunity after wins in Week 7 last Friday night to build some late-season momentum.
Without a doubt, you know, I think we've talked about it before, how the schedule is a little more friendly to our local teams, to the bigger teams in the Hoosier Hills Conference. So, yeah, absolutely, it's a chance. Jeff, obviously, with a real nice performance last week and some big plays in the passing game from Sean Wimberly. So if they can really get that passing game rolling heading into the postseason, they could certainly be a factor. And, you know, because I think they have some skill on the defensive side as well. So, with New Albany, yeah, that was a huge performance for them. Keandre Winford with a nice game throwing the ball. I think Coach Cooley's talked about striving to get a little more balance there because they've got Miles Johnson running the ball really well for them. So, again, yeah, like you said, certainly a good chance for those teams to win two in a row.
Craig Pearson, sports editor of the News and Tribune, my guest this segment, brought to you by Major League Shirt Company. That brings us to my next question. If you were selecting the News and Tribune Player of the Year, your finalists for that award, which are honored at the Netsby ceremonies later in the summer, and of course, ultimately, the winner of that award. Give me some finalists. Give me a couple of them are, I think, pretty obvious, but give me some finalists and give me maybe your take on who has been the Player of the Year, at least through 7 weeks of regular season football so far.
Yeah, it's very close. I mean, I think you know, Charlestown has Marion Lukes with 1,319 yards through 7 games, and we've got Floyd Central's Winkers Wright at 1,326. So that's about as close as it gets. You know, both of those guys are have had some big games, it's pretty much a dead even race right now, to be honest. That's how I would measure it, but is where it's going to come down to these last few weeks. You know, because I mean, Winkers has been electric and helped the Highlanders have a nice season so far, and Lukes has been his usual self. I think maybe not quite what he was a year ago, but you know, he's certainly having a great year, and both guys are among the state leaders in rushing, so in the top three, I think. So at least to what's reported on maxpreps.com. So as far as other possibilities there, gosh, you know, there's a handful of guys that have had nice seasons. I think we just, Silver Creek is so balanced, and, you know, maybe there's some Ben Landers on the defensive side for them, who's also stepped in at quarterback, I think you could throw out there. I'm not sure Johnson's totals for New Albany, but he seems like he's been pretty steady running the ball. You know, I don't know, a kid like Bo Broniker for Charlestown also leading their defense. I think that's an underrated side of things sometimes. Brown for Charlestown also. I think he's actually their leading tackler, but both guys pretty even there. You know, like I said, though, it would go back to, you know, to Winkers Wright and Marion Lukes for sure.
You go from two really solid candidates and no questions asked candidates to probably a list of maybe as much as 8 players or more that could also be in consideration for if you were picking a top three or a top four. The interesting thing is Winkers' team, the Highlanders, and Marion's team, the Pirates, have been playing some good football over the recent weeks, and so it could come down to a situation where which team, which individual has some of the best postseason performances, mm-hmm. and maybe what team goes the farthest and allows that performer to get another week of yardage and of touchdowns and of gains and things like that. So those have both been two of the exciting guys to pay attention to and watch this season. The good news is we've got a few more weeks of regular season football, and then really interested with some of our local sectionals to see who can make the deepest run. Can anybody come out of those sectionals? Could anybody get hot and maybe make a run beyond the regional round that we don't see right now? Craig, I know you track this. I don't know if you vote in this on a regular basis. Maybe it's the coaches' poll, but we've had one team that I've seen – that's Silver Creek, finally get a vote in the poll, not even enough to get them in the top 10 of the state. So not a lot of love down here in Southern Indiana. So I think we'll have to see maybe if we can make up for some of the lack of love, the lack of attention, if somebody could put together a late season run.
For sure. Yeah, I know I do vote in the AP poll. Yeah, I've put Silver Creek in there for several weeks. And they've been, barely getting some, maybe a few other voters have mentioned them. But, it's a... At 7-0, I think if they win this game, they got a shot to get in there. But I think it's also just a matter of there's a lot of really good 4A teams, as we mentioned. You know, with I believe there's been 8 or 9 undefeated teams in 4A, so it's hard to differentiate some of those. And you know, some of those Indianapolis area schools probably do play a little tougher schedule up there, so there's that. But you know, I think Charlestown's got a tough matchup with Salem, and let's see what Lukes can do in that game. And obviously, a tough sectional for them as well coming up with Brownstown in there, and Lawrenceburg. So you know, it's like you said, postseason could come down to postseason success if Floyd and Winkers Wright can get through the the 5A sectional with New Albany and Jeffersonville coming on strong. So could be interesting there as well.
Let's finish with this. Volleyball has been very good in this area. We are to the point where the postseason has arrived. Providence is ranked nationally. I feel like that's a story we talk about every year, not only their dominance locally here in Southern Indiana, but also, of course, being a national caliber program as well. You had an interesting story recently on Providence volleyball, some of the key players and the storylines of that team and of that program. Year in and year out, they are there. Of course, they started and have moved up the ranks all the way to 4A because of the success factor and have competed at every level, essentially, from 2A all the way up of postseason volleyball, and they've got another big opportunity ahead of them here over the next few weeks.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, I caught up with some of their seniors right a couple days after their senior night. We'll actually have that story coming up soon.
Oh, okay.
It's going to be – I'll also have an interview with Courtney Glotzback, one of their seniors, as part of our Southern Indiana Preps podcast, so make sure and check that out. But, you know, that's it's just a great team. I mean, yeah, I'm kind of focusing on the seniors, but obviously Allie Horning, the junior, is leading them in kills, but Glotzback's right there with her, and that's kind of their big two-headed monster with Anna Perica also playing real well offensively, and they've got, you know, Louisville recruit CeCe Rush in the back row, and just great all-around team. I mean, I think the theme of the story is a little bit centered upon the team chemistry that they've developed over the years and how that has come about and how they've kind of attacked the strong schedule that helps them get such a national ranking and how that helps them carry some confidence into the 4A state tournament and hope to, you know, become the smallest school to win a 4A state title. So they're on that quest with their only loss. That they're at 24-1. Their only loss was to Newcastle, who is as high as number 2 nationally in the Max Preps rankings. So it's certainly been an impressive year for the Pioneers.
Craig Pearson, sports editor of the News and Tribune. He joins me Wednesdays, presented by Major League Shirt Company, home of the $4 T-shirt, as we talk local sports. Craig, I don't envy you. Busy, busy time of year. Fall sports beginning to wrap up, and before long we'll be previewing basketball and winter things. So thanks for the coverage, and we'll talk with you again soon.
You bet. Thanks, Matt.
All right, Craig Pearson with me on Wednesdays. That's going to wrap things up on this Wednesday program. Back with you tomorrow, Thursday. Actually, Lee Kelly is with you tomorrow. He'll have Alex Bozich and more coming up on the program. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.